The harpsichord has a sound that seems like it's locked in a time long past. The keyboard instrument is the backbone of the Baroque repertoire. Outside of the royal world of minuets and powdered wigs, the harpsichord seems like a novelty, but it's far from being an audio artifact. TPR's David Martin Davies tells us about one San Antonio master craftsman who works to keep the plucky musical mechanism alive.
Conductor Sir Thomas Beecham once quipped that the sound of a harpsichord is two skeletons copulating on the tin roof in a thunderstorm. But Beecham never heard one of Gerald Self's harpsichords.
There's nothing skeleton copulating. The skeletons might be doing something else.
Self is one of the leading harpsichord makers in Texas. Step inside his San Antonio home and you'll see why. It's filled wall to wall with harpsichords.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 9 and 10, and there's one being worked on out there and one here for repair. So it's a bunch.
All of them here are self-made, with attention paid to exact historic detail. He's one of about 24 harpsichord master craftsmen in America.
Everything you see here is outright plagiarism. I have old pictures of old instruments, and I just did my absolute best to copycat.
Even down to the ornate paintings of flowers and insects that populate the inside of the case.
So I tried to figure out, how did they do that? And I did my best just to try to copy stroke by stroke.
The result is an instrument that doesn't just sound like it was plucked from another time, but it also looks like it.
Look how tiny it is. Oh my God.
Yeah, just sure.
Which is what the audience saw at a recent recital at Texas State University when afterwards they were invited onto the stage to get a close-up gander.
The biggest difference to me is the keys are wider on a piano. Kind of splatting, you have less room to kind of fit your finger on there.
Ezra Bartz is the coordinator for the piano program at Texas State and says he enjoys performing on a Self harpsichord.
It's great. It's one of the best I've played on.
Self is self-taught about harpsichord making and its rich history.
Earliest type of harpsichord evolved alongside the violin. It was very light. It could be taken out and played on a table, or it could be played inside the case, you know, prop the lid up with a stick. And because of the construction, the tone is drained off rather quickly. And this was the classic harpsichord for the 16th century, the 17th century. The opera orchestra grew up around this instrument.
Over the next couple of centuries, the harpsichord grew bigger, more complicated, and produced a more dark, majestic sound.
And this was basically the harpsichord at the time of the French Revolution. And most of the surviving French harpsichords were burned because they represented the excesses of the Ancien Régime. You know, the newfangled instrument was the piano. So these guys were burned in piles and the piano took over.
But in the 1960s and 70s, there was a rebirth of interest in the harpsichord in the classical world and in pop music, with groups like the Beatles leading the way. It was at this time that Self discovered the harpsichord when he was at Austin College studying Baroque music.
As a performer, I had to have one of those. And there were two options. One you could buy for a tremendous amount of money, or you could build a very cheap harpsichord kit. And my dad and I built one. It wasn't very good, but it was usable.
The harpsichord was hip, and someone wanted to buy Self's first effort. And so he built another one and another. He's crafted over 100 since, getting better along the way. Self also mastered other instruments, those of the woodshop, the belt sander, the jigsaw, and drill press, so that each wooden piece can be fitted by hand. All of this takes quite a bit of time to finish one harpsichord.
Probably about 9 months.
The road to becoming a harpsichord master craftsman has been a life journey for the 72-year-old. Along the way, he's become a classical musician, a historian, a painter, a mechanic, a teacher.
But for me, the real joy is going to a concert and hearing it played.
Self says when one of his harpsichords is being used in a performance, he feels like he's the one on stage.
My nerves are, will the tuning hold?
Tuning a harpsichord is a bear. It takes a lot of time and patience. Slowly and methodically, each metal string is tested and adjusted. And harpsichords are very sensitive to changes in temperature and humidity.
For many years, I took instruments to Houston for concerts of Houston early music. I would move into the church around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It would be very nice, very peaceful, perfect tuning. The performers would come in and rehearse, perfect rehearsal. Then around 7 o'clock, you'd hear this, as this massive air conditioner came on, and the temperature would start to drop 5 degrees, 10 degrees, and then the stage lights, whoom, come on, these big heat lamps on the instrument.
So with the combination of the cold air and the heat lamps, the tuning wanders off.
And I'm sitting in the audience hearing octaves that are not in tune, going, oh, please, please. That's the hardest part.
Right now, we're in the twilight of the modern harpsichord revival. To meet that explosion of interest in the 60s and 70s, Self and others devoted to harpsichord making managed to reclaim what was then an almost lost art. And now the question is, who will carry that flame into the future? The problem is, there's no longer a major demand for new harpsichords.
Not as much I'd like to buy a harpsichord as I would like. A lot of can you fix mine?
What keeps Self going is his love for the early music, and being able to have it enjoyed the way that the old classical composers intended. That's why, when it's Baroque, Gerald Self can fix it. David Martin Davies, Texas Public Radio News.